thousands of people, you know, they are joined this technical community to interact with other, you know, the researchers and change their ideas. And the cybersecurity is one of them. And the digital senses, you know, including the stimuli of sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste, and the perception and understanding and the response. And then green ICT, and then rebooting computing, and smart materials like a shape SMAs or piezoelectrics or other different types of materials, as well as the software-defined networks, SDN, and then 5G, which is quite well known these days, and then IoT, and then for the Earth, you know, so knowledge for the Earth, and then air, water, land, by conducting ground, airborne, space-based observations. And then some other one is autonomous systems initiatives. So there are many different types of initiatives for the future direction. I'd like to move on to the sensor or MEMS area, which I have done some research. Well, out of this module of sensors and electronics, which is embedded inside of this ball, the direction and by detecting the direction and the speed of the ball, so the performance of this player could be detected, and it's only electronic compass, accelerometer, and the magnetic sensor. But there is a communication tool using the BLE and then the lithium-ion battery. So MEMS, it's quite well known these days, I think, thanks to the IoTs, like the sensors. MEMS is, I think, the basic technology or technology for the realization of a structure in micro nanoscale these days. So the keywords associated with this MEMS is integration, and then IC compatible, and then batch processing. So they are the three keywords for the MEMS. So it's a cousin of a microfabrication for ICs. Well, I guess the most well-known is this inkjet nozzle for your inkjet printer. So by MEMS technology, we make this window, and then with a heater in the base, so that when we apply the voltage, the heater, you know, makes this the whole ink to heat it, and then it will pop up through these nozzles. So depending on the resolution, we need up to 1,000 nozzles, you know, in parallel. There are some technology in it. And this is one of the earliest the example, but still it's quite useful, which is the accelerometer from the analog device. So it was realized 25 years ago, and then still on the market now. So there is a comb drive actuators in the center as a sensor, and then there are a lot of circuits, you know, around this, you know, including the self-testing scheme. So this is basically a BiCMOS, the analog circuitry for the signal processing, but still it's a 3 millimeter by 3 millimeter in size. And then it has a very good performance. And this MEMS structure is realized for a very high aspect ratios in different schemes. Well, this MEMS to IC, integrated circuits, well, they require initial investment on equipment and the high value added industry. And since IC is basically on the electrical domain. This MEMS is on the electrical plus mechanical plus optical, and then now it's moving into bio areas. So we need 3D structures for the MEMS technology. So for that, usually we use a bonding and plating even, and then different substrates like a glass or polymer. And we use a very thick lithography. Sometimes it's over 100 microns or up to the millimeter by using SU8. Well, there are the five good applications from five, big companies. So Robert Bosch, for the automobile parts is the biggest company yet. Well, in the cars, you can find many different types of sensors, from the accelerometer for the airbag to the navigation, and the microphones for noise cancellations, and then fuel injection, and the distance detection for the collision avoidance, and the mass airflow for the gas, and then this tire pressure monitor, even the exhaust gas sensor for the, like a particulate matter sensor. And in your cell phones, you can find a few of these from the environmental sensing and the navigation and the tactile interface, and then sound quality, and then for the RF stops from the switch to the antenna, and then some devices for display. So there are many applications now available, and then people are trying to build this so-called Lavano chip these days, so that you just have a very small amount of your blood, and it'll be pre-processed by the cell separation or concentration, and then it'll be transported using the microfluidics, using valve or pump or mixers, in the 3D scheme. And then there'll be a the detection mechanism by using these receptors for the DNA to the protein to the cell cells these days. And that small signal is processed with this electronics, and then it'll be transmitted to outside. Well, these days IoT is one big area, and people talk about smart sensor. So what is smart? So my thought is that it'll be like a system on chip. So in one chip, we could have all these functions. So in the distributed system, where there are many, many different types of nodes with the sensors. So low-level decisions should be made at the node. So for that, we need a logic communication data storage function, and then auto-compensation and self-diagnosis, and decision-making even. So that we need some kind of intelligent software embedded in there in the same location. Well, I'd like to move on to my one of the project, which I was a PI in the telecommunication areas. It's not a recent one, but I spent 4 years with a few companies. So in Korea, there is Samsung. So Samsung, is always the choice. So I worked with the two divisions of Samsung, one in telecommunication, and then another one in the MEMS division. And then I worked with a startup company for the ICE design. And during this course, during this project, that company was sold to Taiwan, a big company, for $100 million. So that guy who was the CEO of this one, now he's looking at the yacht, and he's not doing the microelectronics anymore. But anyway, so what we did was to get the multimode, multiband transceiver. So for that, this is a frequency diagram a few years ago, in the Europe. So we developed the American style, and the European style and the Korean style, you know, in different in three different the gadgets. And well, it talks about a lot of different frequencies for applications. So what we built was a 2x2 MIMO antenna, tunable antennas, and then front-end module for the selection of the bands, and then the RFICs in one, as a one chip, and then we use the Samsung-based modem. For that, for the architecture, we tried the so-called reconfigurable architecture, in the sense that, you know, in the old cell phone, there is a single band, single mode RF. But it's moving into this, the copy of these, you know, the of the same thing for the multi-band, multi-mode for a different frequency ranges. And it's merged together, you know, and then, well, we tried this kind of the multi-mode, multi-band MIMO RF with a tunable signal RF chain. So that we have tunable antennas from 2 to 6 gigahertz. And then we have the filter banks here to select a specific filter for the application, the frequency for the application. And then the low noise amplifier and mixer and the other AD converter to the baseband. And then in this receiver part, and there is an oscillator, and then there is a transmitter part with this power amp associated with that. So for the RFIC, which was built by the small startup company, well, it's not, it was a small startup company, that this RFIC is based on CMOS technology, and it covers basically 802.11 ABGN and then Mobile WiMAX, which is 802.11e. So the frequency range was 2.3 to 5.9 gigahertz. And then it has a up to 40 megahertz channel bandwidth, which is quite you know, high, big at the time. And but basically 2x2 MIMO diversity, and it takes only four pins, two for receiver and two for transmitters. So total chip size is a less than 6x6, so you could see it. And the most of the areas are taken by the inductors. And for the so-called switchable front-end module, here's an antenna, and then we have a switch for the receiver and the transmitter, and then diplex and the filter banks from 2.3 to 3.5, and then 5.8 gigahertz. And then we have a switch multiplexer from 4 to 1, and then it's the signal is fed to the receiver and connection with the transmitter. So for that, we need a one SPDT, single pole double throw switch here. This one. And then diplex and then filter banks using F-bar, so-called, and then SP4T switch. So they are all made by MEMS technology. And for a F-bar, it's a bulk acoustic wave resonator structure. So here, it's not easily seen, but here we have a hollow here, and then we have a thin layers of a aluminum nitride, which is less than 50 nanometers, and then the piezoelectric material on top of it. The electrode on top, on both sides. So this aluminum nitride acts as a piezoelectric material for the bulk acoustic wave. And we use the molybdenum for high acoustic velocity as well as the low resistivity. You could see this this resonator, and here is a very thin diaphragm, and this is air cavity, and with this aluminum nitride and the metals on it. So if we combine these with a in a ladder series with a terminating this inductor, we could be able to get a filter in a 1x1 millimeter size. Well, so it was working for 2.3 and 5.8. The other device was a switch, in the sense that it's quite simple. You know, Well, there are four switches here, basically. And then this is a switching mechanism in the sense that in the on state, it's moved further this way so that they can make a contact. And if it's moving further this way, then there is a gap so that it's not connected. It's quite simple. But this comb drives, moves this the whole thing back and forth to make a contact. So you could see a four different switches here as a one device, and then some the SEM of the gap of these areas, and then the signal lines and then everything there. So those are just embedded in a basically 7 millimeter by 3.5 millimeter. I'm sorry, that 7 centimeter by 3.5 centimeter with the multi-resonance antenna and then switchable FEM and then the RFICs. And we use the both sides of this PCB such that in the backside we have a modem there. So it was adapted to the USB dongle. Well, the other sensor is an accelerometer. It's an accelerometer, so it's very well used device nowadays. And this is basically for the inertial grade, in the sense that we have two identical proof mass for moving, for detecting the acceleration. And it's since they are two identical ones, so we are using a differential mode to alleviate the noise problems here. And this silicon device, which is a etched in many ways, and it's kept with this glass, but there is a gathering material which removes the outgassing problems in for the long application. Yeah, sure. Sensitivity.
Yes.
Okay, I'll get back. The next slide is for this. So well, we have a the comb drives with this tuning fork type, double tuning fork type the ending, and then so to enhance this electrostatic stiffness. Well, basically, if we apply a little bit of a voltage here, we could change the mechanical stiffness by adding the electrical stiffness. So, out of this predefined structure, we have one set of stiffness, which is K in most cases in spring. But by applying some voltage there, we could change the stiffness, for the application. And here is the sensitivity and the resolution. We could get up to the 2.5 micro G of a sensitivity for this one. Okay. Well, the bandwidth was 100 hertz, for this. And this MEMS technology could be used for the probe card. But I guess I may need to skip it because of the time. And another work we did, well, usually MEMS people these days do everything, I'll say. So physical to the RF, to the bio, but there is some focus. But I tried this, and it was published in a lab on a chip, and I think I love this work, so I'd like to spend a little time. Well, basically, it's for the immunosensing embedded CMOS biochip for the ELISA scheme. And basically, it has three layers, one for electronics and detection, which is chemical detection, and then one for the microfluidics chip, and then one for the spacer. So this one is also acts as a top portion. From the top, we have an inlet and the outlet. And then we use the bead, which is coated with the biomaterials. This bead is fed into this the chamber with many pillars here, and then the bees coming through these microfluidic channels, so that they could be combined with the antigen and antibody reaction inside this chamber, so they could be detected at the bottom sensor, chemical sensors. So basically, it's a fluidic cube-based system with a bead filling and the immune reaction. And then we had a temperature sensor and ion-sensitive FET at the site for the detection of temperature and the pH for the chemical reaction. And then So this slide shows the cross-section of those transistor as a sensor, temperature sensor, basically, and the cross-section of the microfluidic area. So we see this the pillars and the channels for the bead movement. And we put many different types of the biomaterials with the help of the people in the biology. And then if this AFP and the anti-AFP, makes a contact, and there is a fluorescence out of this one. AFP is a is related to the cancer. So if it's higher than 20 something, then you should be notified then. So basically, the sensor sensitivity was 33 millivolt per pH, and the resolution was a 0.1 pH. So for out of this technology, we could get a nanograms of a the specimen, which is enough for this kind of a detection. And another the application is advanced driver assistance system, so-called ADAS. These days ADAS more than I do. It's an autonomous system with the collision avoidance. So there are many technology is used for this ADAS, but for the distance detection, many people use a LiDAR these days, which is quite good in terms of performance, but it's quite expensive. It's getting lower in price, but it's still expensive. So what you are trying to do, and then there are many other the different types of approach. What you are trying to do is to make a roughly $50 of a the distance detection sensor with a camera, a micro camera. And the base concept is using the dual apertures, in the sense that in this camera, we have a CIS on top of PCB, and then usually camera has a lens and the other filters in it. Well, we need a separate, a different, the dedicated lens design. But as long as we have one aperture inserted between lens, then we could get a focused or blurred image out of those by tuning the aperture size. And then we could get a distance information by the so-called DFT technology, which is used in the computer vision area. So it's a collaborative research between computer vision lab and this MEMS lab or hardware lab. So I'm making this structure, and another professor in my department is working with me for this DFT algorithm plus the, some deep learning technology there. So our target is a driving voltage less than 10 volt, and the response time should be less than 30 milliseconds. And this F number is 4 and 14 based on our simulation now. And for the lens, we are trying to get a three lens system with a focal length of 9 millimeters. And basically, we are, you know, we have an advice from the camera, the company, and the automotive company for this one. Anyway, to realize the aperture, we are trying to two types. One is LCD type. Well, we know the LCD quite well, in the sense that when there is a voltage applied, then there is a light. You know, it blocks the light, and when the voltage is not applied, then it transmits the light. So, by using the predefined the regions for a big and small aperture size, we could get a some different images out of this with the driving voltage of a 7 volt, and this response time was quite reasonable with that. So we could see there are some difference in terms of the response here. And it's loaded in this camera module, which is a black box camera right now. And and the other approach is using this purely MEMS technology with this the electrothermal method, such that we have a fans here, and then we have a thermal actuator here for each blade. And this thermal actuator is based on the chevron type, so if you apply a few voltages, it'll heat up, and then it'll move this way, and then the when they all match together, then it'll make a like a camera shutter. So out of this technology, we could change this the size of the aperture. Well, it's being done right now, but the simulation result looks like it's gonna work. So it's not a full full area of what I have done, but I'd like to share a couple of applications out of MEMS technology with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Putin.
Yes.
Accelerometer, derivatives. These now finding, of course, more applications in the automobile and other industry. But what is the current kind of device structures right now they are being used? Of course, you mentioned about integrating the actuator MEMS with onboard electronics. But, can you say a few words about that?
For the automobile side, there are many different type of sensors are used right now. I guess the biggest market is on the airbag with the accelerometer, and then second one is a tire pressure monitoring system, because it's required by the law in the United States. So that's a one approach. So you need a global, public policy initiative of the IEEE, in the sense that when those people in the parliament makes any policy, then they should have an advice from the engineers and scientists. So that's called a public policy initiative. And that's what's made in United States. So they made it as a law that every car should have an airbag now and then TPMS now because of the safety. Okay. So every car has a several, at least four TPMS, and these days 7 to 10 airbags for every car. So that's one area, to think about. So they are, I think, that they're in a big market now.
So still on this business of the accelerometer, you mentioned the bandwidth of what, some 100 hertz or something.
Mm.
This is a bandwidth of 100 hertz at what frequency?
There was a few kilohertz frequency, so it was not.
These things are intrinsically extremely insensitive at low frequencies, are they?
Yes. The resolution is based on the invariance, the calculation. So yes, that includes the noise at the low frequencies as well.
Possibly field trials and so on, is on the bio side, both in terms of sensors as well as actuators, the medicine dispensers and so on, invasive basically. Can you say a little more on that?
I've done some of the bio areas, not really fully, but the DARPA in the United States is putting a lot of money in these bio areas, and it's been doing quite a bit of years. And there are a lot of startup companies doing a simple devices in terms of microfluidics. So mixing of two specimens, or the PCRs, or what, that kind of thing is done now. So in a very low level of a complexity, it's done now. But there are a lot of demonstration on the very high complexity systems. What I have showed in my presentation, from the sample treatment to the detection. But for the market-wise, they are not ready yet. So I guess it takes more time. So it's been done more than 10 years, but still people are doing quite a bit. Yes.
Is it because of the lack of reusability or limited usage?
Well, for the biosensor, disposable sensors has been around. So. I've done some mixers and the pumps, but the reliability was an issue for me, and I think it's a big issue now, reliability. And then for a camera system, it's available. So they're kind of electronics-oriented ones are okay, but for the really, the actuation and are not ready yet, I think.
Yes. Sir, my name is Prithviraj Garud from ITP Nagpur subsection, Bombay section.
Yes.
My question was Satyanarayana sir asked about invasive MEMS. I wanted to know about non invasive MEMS technologies which are currently doing something in biomedical.
Hmm.
Non invasive MEMS.
My advisor did the microprobes for 30 years, so which is invasive. But it's it went up to the in vivo from the in vitro. So there were a lot of advancement. Without penetration, some people use optical. The phenomena there, principles, But otherwise, you know, I guess it's very difficult. You know, well, we could have you know, some patches for the glucose sensors and those things, but not many yet. So, yeah.
Okay. Before I conclude, I also want to take this opportunity to thank many of my IEEE colleagues here. Of course, Tukjin has already mentioned. If I can request Anthony Lobo, who's the chair of Bombay section, and also Vineet Kotak, who's the secretary, and Harish, of course, is Harish Mysore, is the director of IEEE India session, Paris. And also, I think at the end, the last benchers, Ashok and Abhay, senior Bapat sir. Sorry, I didn't see him. Where he is? Okay, right there. And our own people, of course, Arnab and Alpin. So I would like to actually thank everyone for making this happen from the IEEE family. But not before, also would like to, from TIFR, would like to thank you for coming over here and giving this nice talk on the advancement of him. Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So there's a key, of course, arrangement in the best country.